Good morning. If you take your Bibles and turn with me to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10 this morning. Daniel chapter 10, and I'll begin reading here in verse 4. It says, "And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael and one of the chief princes came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." Let's pray once more. Dear God, we thank you so much for getting us here to church this morning. Lord, we thank you for the protection and safety you give us each day on the roads. And I just want to say a special thank you to you for that, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to open your word this morning and to get to learn from you. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts in this Sunday school hour. Lord, help the teaching to be clear. Lord, just help us to be drawn closer to you by what you have for us today. Lord, I pray for the requests that have been mentioned, that you would be with each one of those. And Lord, I pray that you would just give them each a special encouragement today. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text this morning comes at kind of just a jump in to the passage. It actually starts in verse 1 of Daniel chapter 10, and really it goes to the end of the chapter, but we didn't have time to read all 21 verses. But we see in verse 1 of Daniel chapter 10, it says, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel." So the things that are happening in this chapter of chapter 10 happened about 3 years after Daniel 9. Where we learned last week where Daniel was praying for his people and praying because he understood that they were going to be returning back to Israel soon and that they needed to be prepared and their hearts needed to be revived. And so once again we see Daniel, he's still praying. It says in verse 2, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks." 3 full weeks. This mourning included fasting and praying. He hasn't eaten anything. He's just been in prayer and meditation with God for 3 full weeks. And once again, he's praying for his people. And once again, you just see his consistency. I mean, in the previous chapter, 3 years ago, he's praying for his people. And has this message revealed to him about the future. And this motivates him to pray as well. He's still praying for his people. And people with a heart for God don't need an excuse to pray. They look for excuses to pray. And Daniel, he could pray about anything. And unfortunately, so many times we try to avoid praying. We try to do everything we can to try to resolve the problem before we turn to God and say, God, we can't do this. We need you to intervene. But Daniel, he's looking for an excuse to pray. And he has this new revelation, this vision that happens at the end of chapter 9. And so he's praying about his people again. And he's praying for their hearts to be revived. And so in chapter 10, he's sitting by the Hiddekel River, which is the Tigris River. He's fasting and praying. He's in meditation. And then all of a sudden, there's this vision that comes to him. And there's a man, it's described here in verse 6. It's very unsettling to Daniel. It says his body was like the barrel, his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. This is just an overwhelming vision, somebody that obviously Daniel's never seen before, and it just causes him to go into shock. He's just trembling there. And the people, there are some people with him, and they're so terrified, they don't even see the vision, but they see that something supernatural is happening, and they're so terrified that they just run away and hide. They're terrified to face whatever this is. But Daniel doesn't. He stands there trembling, but then this one, whether it's an angel or not, begins speaking to him. And as he hears his voice, he just collapses in shock. He's terrified at this, and his emotions are overwhelmed. I mean, he's been mourning, fasting, and praying for 3 weeks. He's very weak at this point. And so then he has this vision, and he's overwhelmed by it, and he collapses. And we don't know who specifically this person is. Now, there's several opinions, but with Bible scholars, there's not much agreement here, and unfortunately, a lot of times there isn't. But the Bible doesn't clearly tell us who this is. Some people say it's a Christophany, Jesus appearing in the Old Testament. Some people say it's an angel. We don't know for sure, but we can draw some conclusions. In verses 5 through 7, he's described as a man in fine linen with his skin like polished brass, his arms and feet like brass. And that's similar to a description of the Lord described in Revelation chapter 1. But at the same time, if this is the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament in verses 5 through 7, then the person and the angel who comes to Daniel the second time in verses 11 through 15 can't be the same person. These can't be the same two people. Well, why? Well, it says here that in verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Well, if this was the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't need any help. There's nobody that's going to hinder him from getting through. And Jesus doesn't need help from anybody, and there's no human or no demon powerful enough to withstand Jesus, who is all powerful. So if it's Jesus in verses 5 through 7, it can't be the Lord Jesus in verses 11 through 15. But it's also possible that this was an angel and the same angel in verses 5 through 7 as in verses 11 through 15. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7, there's a man who's clothed in linen who raises his hand up to heaven and swears that the words contained in the book are true. So this man's clothed in linen, the one in Revelation is. So possibly they're both angels. We don't know. But either way, they came with a message for Daniel, and a very important message. And we've seen all throughout his life, Daniel's been a chosen vessel of God. He's been a chosen vessel to receive dreams and visions. But this is the biggest vision and the most important one that Daniel's ever received. And already he realizes this significance, and he's collapsed on the ground. And he stays there until an angel, possibly the same one, maybe a different one, comes and touches him and strengthens him and says, Daniel, don't be afraid. And he describes him. He says, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Greatly beloved. Now, that phrase has the significance. It can be translated as a man of delight, someone that God finds delight in. That's a wonderful thought. A God delights in all his children. All his children bring him joy. Psalm 149:4 says, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." God finds delight in all of his children. They're all precious to him. But this term here, it's very specific. Not just a child of God, but someone who's walking in obedience to God. Imagine being that person, a man or a woman of delight. Someone God can look to and find joy in. That's quite a testimony. The Lord could look at Daniel and find joy in his life. But you see, if you aren't a blessing, and if you aren't living in obedience with other people around you, if you aren't a blessing to them, then you can't have a fellowship with God. Because if you can't walk in fellowship with your other Christian brothers and sisters, then you can't have fellowship with God. That doesn't mean being a crowd pleaser. We're not to please other people, but we should be heart encouragers. We should be striving to be an encouragement to other people. And when we're living in obedience with the Lord, we can bring delight to Him as well. And He can look to us and find joy in our lives. That'd be an incredible thing. And it's possible. It's very possible. Daniel was just as much as human as we are. He's looked up to because he is a spiritual pillar in the Old Testament. And he should be looked up as that. He had a great testimony, but he was just human too. But yet, the Lord found delight in him. And he can find delight in us too. And so, Daniel was a man of delight. And he had no need to fear. This angel comes with words of reassurance. He says, Daniel, you're a man of delight to God. And he didn't run and hide like his companions. He wasn't afraid because he was walking in fellowship with God. And you know, when our works are tried, when people examine our lives, we should be able to face them with a clear face, an unashamed face. We should be able to look at them and not run away, not run and hide. I hope there's nothing in your life, nothing in your heart that would cause you to run from an examination by other people or from God. I hope not. Well, there wasn't for Daniel. He's trembling at this message, but not out of shame, not just out of fear and out of reverence. He realizes how serious this message is. And this angel tells him, he reassures him again. He says, I've been sent as an answer to your prayer. I've been sent as an answer to the prayer you prayed all the way back in verse 2, when he was mourning and praying, 21 days before. The angel said, I was sent as an answer to your prayer all the way back then, but it took me 3 weeks to get here because I was hindered. Once again, we learn that we have to trust God's timing in prayer. The Lord doesn't always follow our timing, but we should be thankful for that because He doesn't follow our timing either. And so Daniel, he got his answer to his prayer as soon as he prayed it, but it just didn't arrive until 3 weeks later. And this angel says that the one standing in the way in verse 13 had been the prince of Persia. Now, who is this prince of Persia and how is this prince so powerful? Well, we know from Scripture that the Lord has His angels. He has a hierarchy of angels. He has archangels like Michael and Gabriel. But then He has cherubims and seraphims, and the list goes down. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10 says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God has a hierarchy of angels. But remember, demons are just fallen angels. And Satan also has a hierarchy of angels. And angels, fallen angels, demons. Later in the same book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, you probably know this verse, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And this prince of Persia, this is a demon who is really controlling the leaders in the nation of Persia. And he was so powerful that he was able to prevent this message from going through until Michael the archangel came to his aid, came to this angel's aid. And, you know, we all, so often see the Satan or the devil and his angels just portrayed as little cartoon characters, like googly eyes and a pitchfork and a long tail, maybe horns. But that's not what they are. They're very powerful beings, and demonic influence and oppression is a real thing. And it's not something to be messed around with. Satan is powerful, but our God is so much more powerful. And the Lord Jesus will give us the strength to overcome anything. And even this demon, this prince of Persia, had no power to prevent this prayer from getting through. And so, chapter 10 is really the prologue to this vision. Then in chapter 11, we have the vision. And chapter 12 really is the ending of this vision. So this vision goes for about three chapters. And then in Daniel chapter 11, the angel begins to give the details to Daniel and to give things that are about to come. It says in verse 2 of chapter 11, now I will show thee the truth, but behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. This fourth king is Xerxes, a rich and powerful king. We would know him from the book of Esther as King Ahasuerus. Very powerful king. You see, in the book of Esther how he had these lavish banquets and these wars. He's a very wealthy and powerful king. And so the angel told him that this is all going to be brought to pass, but then these four kings are going to pass away. And a new king, the king of Greece, is going to rise up, who we know is Alexander the Great. And he was also a powerful ruler of the known world. But then he would pass away too, and he would move off the scene. And then there's going to be constant wars and constant fightings of the nations around Israel. And that was a present reality then. It was a future reality. It's a present reality now, and it's still a future reality, because Israel is always going to have wars as God's chosen people, because people hate the people of the Lord. Whether they're Christians or the Jews, there's always been wars against them. And so Daniel has revealed all this later, but at the time, he hasn't been told any of this. He's just been told that I came through, had this really spiritual warfare with this prince of Persia, just to come through and deliver this message to you. And so he hasn't received any of this revelation yet, but yet even that little detail so overwhelms him that he collapses again. He's just overwhelmed and shocked again. And this time, he's so shocked and overwhelmed that says in verse 15 at the end, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. He can't even speak. He's speechless. Just the revelation of these few details has so overwhelmed him that he can't even talk. And so an angel has to come to him again and strengthen him. It says in verse 16, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake. Daniel has to be strengthened by another angel. He's frightened, understandably so, at this. This is something he's never seen before. This is a vision unlike any he's ever had. It was so real. And he's overwhelmed with it that he can't even speak. But yet the Lord and his angels didn't condemn Daniel for his fearfulness, for his being afraid, because it was very understandable. Yet the Lord strengthened him. The Lord strengthened Daniel. He used his angels. Remember, even the Lord Jesus was strengthened by angels. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. This is where the Lord was tempted in the wilderness, and his angels came and ministered to him afterwards. Then in the Garden of Gethsemane, the angels came and ministered to him after he prayed, or as he prayed. So the Lord has given these angels as ministers. And this minister, this angel, strengthened Daniel. For this second time in this passage, Daniel has been strengthened. The first time, physical strength. This time he's restored his speech. He's able to talk again. And Daniel, he's so overwhelmed that he's not making much sense. It says in verse 16, O my Lord, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. He says, I don't know what's going on here. This vision, it's just confused me. It's brought sorrow upon me because I see the future of my people and I see of everything that they're going to go through. It says, I see all this. I'm confused. I can't speak. I have no strength. And so the angel has to strengthen him again. In verse 18, it says, then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. We don't know if this was a man or an angel. I think personally that this was an angel, and we know from the Bible that angels did take human form. For example, in the case of Lot, when the two angels were sent to take him out of Sodom, him and his family, or in the case when Jacob wrestled with an angel by the brook who appeared to be human. And I think that this man, this angel, came in human form just to comfort Daniel and to encourage him, to give him something familiar, because all these angels and everything that he's seen has so disoriented him. But the Lord, he allows an angel to come to him in human form and just minister to him and be an encouragement. And so then Daniel, he's reassured again. It says in verse 19, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. Once again, he's reassured and says, you're greatly beloved. You're a man of delight to God. There's nothing to be afraid of. Be strong, yea, be strong. It sounds like the charge given to Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. And Daniel did not have to be afraid of the message. He didn't have to fear it, because the Lord had sent it to him for a reason. And just because you're God's servant, just because you're God's minister, we're all kings and priests unto God. We may receive messages, we may receive answers to prayer that we may not like. They may be a little frightening, but yet we can trust the Lord and we can receive those answers. And Daniel was used of God here because he was willing to accept a hard message, to accept something that he probably didn't want to hear about his people. The Lord was able to use him to be a prophet. And the Lord used him to give a message to his people, to give a message to us about the end of the world and what to expect. And so Daniel strengthened again. And he says at the end of verse 19, he says, "I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." He says, now I can hear the message. Now I'm ready for whatever the message is. You can give it to me. And we don't have to be afraid of God's messages because they're for our good. They may not be comfortable. We may not like to hear what God has for us, but they're always for our best. And the Lord, he prepares Daniel for this. He prepares Daniel for this message. He strengthens him. He doesn't just leave him in a quivering heap to receive this message. No, he sends his angel to strengthen him. And so Daniel is given back his voice. He says, "Let my Lord speak. The news may be bad, but I'm ready to hear it." And we don't have to fear God's message. We really don't. So many times, I know in my own life, I've run away from God's message. I know what God's message is, or I know if I pray for God's message, I know what it's going to be. And I want to run from it. But God's never going to give us anything that's bad for us. And his message is always for our best. And Daniel had a sense of peace here. He said, "Lord, now I can receive the message." And we can have the same sense. And Daniel had prepared his heart through prayer, and he was ready to receive this message. And we also must be people of prayer. I know we've seen this so many times throughout Daniel, but it's an occurring theme, and I think it's something we need to be reminded of. I know I do. Prayer is such a powerful weapon, but so many times it just stays in its sheath. We like to go to any other resource, any other thing we can think of before we humble ourselves and ask God, say, "God, please give me the answer to this. Please reveal your will because I don't know." And we've got to use that weapon. And remember to trust God's timing. Daniel's prayer, his answer to his prayer, had been sent 3 weeks before. God's timing was perfect. His prayer had been answered in verse 2, but the reality didn't come to pass until verse 10. He had to wait 8 verses. He had to wait 3 weeks until he received an answer to prayer. Sometimes it's going to be a long time before we receive answers to prayer. But don't judge God's faithfulness on God's timing, because they're not related. God's faithful, and he's going to be true no matter how long it takes him. God's always going to be true. His word is always going to come to pass. And we better be thankful that he doesn't operate on our timetable. Because if God took as long to answer as we took as long to ask most of the time, we'd be waiting years and years and years. And sometimes we'd never receive an answer. And sometimes it may be years. We may pray for years about something and not receive that answer. We may never see the answer accomplished in our lifetime. But that doesn't mean God is any less faithful. He's just as faithful as ever. From the very time Daniel prayed this prayer, it was heard. We may not think our prayer is heard if we don't see an obvious result, but our prayer is always heard. Lord hears all our prayers. He has all our tears. Lord knows everything about us, and no prayer of ours is going to fall to the ground. I heard an interesting illustration, actually this week, about prayer. A woman had a dream that she had died and gone to heaven, and she stood before the throne, and in front of the throne there was this huge heap of packages, all with her name on them. And so she asked someone standing by and says, "Why are there all these packages here? Why do they have my name on them?" And the person answered, "Well, these are the answers to your prayers that you never prayed and the prayers that you gave up on. They were waiting to be sent. They were wrapped in everything, but you never prayed or you gave up. You didn't keep continuing faithful in prayer. And so they were all here. They were all ready, but you never asked for them and you never received them." Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to ask. The Lord delights to give good things to those that ask, but you have to ask. And the Lord can't answer a prayer that you don't ask, the prayer that you don't pray. You think of growing up when you had that Christmas wish list, and you had that one thing that you wanted so badly. I mean, you would circle it. You would put pictures of it everywhere. You'd mention it. You'd take it into every conversation any chance you could. Somehow mention this one toy, this one gift you wanted. And eventually, what happened? You got it, most likely. Or if it wasn't, you got something just as good. Well, so many times we treat prayer just the opposite. We assume God knows what we want, and we don't even think to pray about it. And God does know what we want, but yet He wants to hear us ask Him. And you know, your parents growing up, they wanted you to ask them for things. They wanted you to ask for these gifts because they loved to give them to you. The Lord wants to hear us ask Him too for things. He wants to hear us pray. And He wants us to pray not just to ask for things. He wants us to pray just to praise Him and just to thank Him. And Daniel, he's given us an example of all these things. And I'll be honest, I've been afraid of answers to prayer so many times. And pardon the personal illustration, but I never wanted to preach. That was the last thing I wanted to do. Never. I never wanted to get up in front of people and stand and preach. I never wanted to say anything in front of people. And I knew, as I prayed for God's will, I knew that's what the Lord called me to do, but I was afraid of that answer to prayer. And I was terrified. But yet the Lord, He's been so gracious, and I wouldn't go back. And the Lord, He's so gracious to continually teach me and continually show me things. And you know, I'm so glad that I finally opened that package. And I finally accepted that answer to prayer. I didn't want that answer to prayer to start with. But now I'm so glad that I'm in God's will and that He's been so, so gracious to me. And I know that's a personal illustration, and you can give instances of the same things where God has directed you to a place probably you didn't want at first, but a place that you ended up and you were so glad you did. And so pray. Don't forget to pray. And also, when you receive an answer to prayer, don't be afraid to receive it. Don't be afraid to accept that answer to prayer, because it's going to be for your best. It may not have the best wrapping. It may not be that appealing on the outside. But if God sent it to you, then it's for your best. And God will strengthen you. He'll give you the ability to receive whatever it is. Just as the Lord strengthened Daniel and enabled him to receive a message that was absolutely overwhelming. And through prayer, Daniel was able to receive this. And so be people of prayer. Are you a person of prayer? Am I a person of prayer? Do you look for excuses to pray to God? Do you look for excuses to pray? The Lord wants us to talk to Him at all times. The psalmist David said, "At morning, at evening, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud." We've got to be people of prayer. That means not just once a day, not just twice a day. Look for excuses to pray. And that's what Daniel did, and that's why he could receive such a vision. So pray, don't forget to pray, and keep on praying. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for this example from Daniel. Lord, once again, a man of prayer, a man of just incredible strength through Your power, through Your enabling. Lord, I pray that we would be willing to pray for the hard things, and Lord, to accept the hard things. So many times the answers to our prayer aren't what we expected, aren't what we wanted. Lord, I pray that You would give us the grace to accept those and know it's for our best. Lord, please help us to take from this example from Daniel, Lord, just to love You more and more, and Lord, to talk to You about anything. Lord, thank You that You can delight in each of us just like You could delight in Daniel. I pray that we would be people of joy, that You could look to find joy. Lord, each of us can, just as Daniel could, and I pray that You would help us to be those people. Lord, I pray now that You would work in our hearts in the morning service and all that goes on. And Lord, just receive the honor and the glory, and we'll praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.